Everybody, welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. What a big day. We are at the Greek Festival. Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church has been putting, well, we'll find out how many years. We talk to some of the folks here, but they are stellar human beings at Holy Trinity. I've known so many of them, like the Bimbalis family of Mecca legend, Rufus. Some of your good friends too, John Dimbalis and Flo and Paul and Nick and Mary, just fine. Paul and Mary, two of the children, are still with us. Nick, who was a great lawyer in Raleigh, passed away unexpectedly, and John and Flo. John died several years ago. Flo died fairly recently in the last couple of years. She was in her 90s, and they were just so welcoming, and there was such good food. It was, you know, the Dimbalis family was really big and a big part of this church and this event. I'm sure Paul for many years helped cook, and John was involved. So we feel at home here.
Well, you know you'd made it there if they put your picture up on the wall. And if you were still alive, if you got it back while you were still alive, you had made it.
That's right. John had behind the counter over there had photos of people who had been in celebrities who had been.
Well, I wouldn't call it that.
It was Carol O'Connor and people like that.
Yeah. I'm talking about me.
It was a political hangout, too. Kind of like the Roast Grill and 42nd Street Oyster Bar, and
the Supreme Court used to eat there too.
Yeah. So that was a big deal. It was always when Gary Dornberg and I would eat in there. It was always, and that was around 6 o'clock, before I got married. I was married, but it was a secret marriage at that point.
A bigamist.
Yes, right. No, I didn't marry two women, Melissa.
Right.
but Gary would eat there every night. You just turn something down. I can't hear now. Harrison, what are you doing? Am I too loud? Who said I was too loud? Mike? Mike Slayman said I was too loud? You're just walking around with a phone up to your ear. Well, Joel said I sound fine, Mike. Oblivious.
Can you tell Joel that I'm going to hit and miss today a little bit in traveling, call in and
Joel. Rufus is here, and then he'll be there because he's going to a funeral of,
yes.
of someone, a prominent member of the Chitlin' Club.
Yes, our dear friend Moses is his first name.
Wow,
Galleon from Harnett County in the Dunn area. And as you know, Mike, from being in the Chitlin' Club, he was a great orator about the preparation and the way to handle chitlins.
He was the king of the chitlins.
King of the chitlins.
He had all the recipes and knew exactly how to cook them.
Yes.
So, there's a real art to that. Now, let me bring in some more country boys here. I'm sure they've had chitlins. Johnny Coley, extension agent in the Person County and Granville County Extension Service. You all right?
Good morning, Mike. Good morning.
You've had chitlins, haven't you?
I don't know that I ever have.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Johnny, you need to be educated, son.
I've grown up knowing the word and knowing the process and everything throughout the years, but I don't know that.
I
know from whence they come. But
at the Chitlin Club, we've evolved into fried chitlins.
Oh, yes.
Which are a real delicacy.
Absolutely. Pam can do them any way you want. I had a book one time that said 101 ways to use chitlins, and my favorite was as a slingshot.
Is that before you eat them? You're testing the flexibility. Right. Mike Ellington is new to the program, and we're so glad to have you here, Mike, from Vance County. Of course, Paul McKenzie represented Vance County for so many years, and he's retired. He's still on the show, but thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
That's a long trek. And have you had any chitlins in your time?
I have had Tabasco sauce flavored chitlins.
There you go.
Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody has their special sauce. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily have.
He's wanting to kill them.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a hog killing?
I have. I actually raised
hogs. That was something that was done in the fall, I guess, late fall, early winter.
Do it around Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah. That's when I remember it. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that anymore or not, but
somebody will call in about you.
At any rate, it's my fault. I brought it up. At any rate, we're glad to have you, and it's always nice to have another horticulturist with us. Come out. We are at the Greek Festival, as we mentioned, but we didn't say where it is. We're in the Graham Building. Harrison said the door was locked early this morning when he was getting in. I asked if Commissioner Graham was there to greet him and open the door. What a wonderful thing that would be to see.
I would be making a headway back home.
I don't know. I'd like to have a chat with the commissioner again. Yeah. He was one of a kind, but his presence is felt here. I tell you, they are expecting a lot of people because they got a lot of. I wonder how long it took to set up all of these tables here in the Graham Building.
Well, they were going since yesterday.
Yeah.
This is a setup.
Yeah,
sure.
So they'll go. I guess they started yesterday and today and tomorrow. So it's a big deal, big fundraiser. This is. I don't know how long, as I mentioned, they've been doing this for a long, long time. But we look forward to talking with some folks from this, and we will have Ashley Herring, who is with the Beef Council in North Carolina. Beef, Johnny and Mike, big industry, big part of that agricultural industry, hundreds of millions of dollars. And so we'll talk more about food with Ashley, because there are a lot of, maybe she'll share her favorite recipe or something. But I was riding in and looking at, when I walked out, looked out the front this morning, the cardinal flowers in my front yard are just unbelievable. Right. Everything that blooms look good this year so far.
Yeah, we've had some good weather for that, Mike. It's been,
it's like fall.
Good moisture. Good, the nighttime temperatures have stayed pretty comfortable so far. I saw on the long range next Saturday at 96. I'm not looking forward to that.
No. I know there's some kind of demarcation line. We sometimes just drop from spring
right
into summer, and I guess that's the deadline. I also saw a beautiful. Where was it? Somewhere along Blue Ridge Road from Crabtree, the real narrow blue part of Blue Ridge Road. But there was a Coosa dogwood that was just full of blooms.
Mm. Yeah.
And they look extra good this year. If you aren't having luck with that old Florida dogwood, the Coosa dogwood.
Yeah.
Is
and it blooms a little later. You get some later
blooms after the leaves come out, and there was so much white they were almost covering the leaf structures.
Yeah,
you got one of those at the Granville office, don't you?
We do have a Coosa there at the Granville office. It's in bloom now. As a matter of fact, some of it's. It's got some dieback in it. But, yeah, they seem to do a lot better in the sun where the Cornish Florida doesn't do as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does okay in partial sun, but and I've seen it in full, but normally it's sort of like we have it in a native habitat, you know, sort of an understory tree where the coosa does better with a little more afternoon sun. But, yeah, beautiful and beautiful fruit, you know, when it has the fruit on it, it's bigger. I mean, the coosa, Florida, the Cornus Florida has nice fruit on it, but the Cornus Coosa has a bigger fruit. It's just, it's larger, still red. It's very, very nice.
Do you have a Coosa dogwood in your landscape?
Certainly do. It just finished blooming at the garden party.
Yeah.
By the way, Mike, you're a horticulturalist.
Yes, sir.
I'm perplexed about hydrangeas. Is there a reblooming hydrangea? You got two times a year for azaleas as encore. You got all kinds of daylilies. You got irises. Is there a reblooming hydrangea?
I don't know of one, Johnny. Do you?
Yeah, there is. There is a hydrangea that blooms twice, and I'm going blank on the name. I need
well,
to
get
here.
It for me. I'm very anxious about that.
Endless summer. Endless summer.
Endless summer. Okay.
Yeah. Endless summer is a
and that's widely
that
available.
Well, now do you go? Oh, I know. I've got one. I've never had it happen.
But yeah, it'll bloom on old growth and new growth.
Is that a true reblooming, or is it? Just
or is
a
it
long
just?
Bloom?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I think it reblooms. It's.
Would you cut? The
I don't have
you
one.
Cut the first blooms off.
Usually, you do prune them right after the first bloom. Yeah, anytime something blooms twice, like azalea, you have the repeat azaleas. You prune them right after they bloom the first time, and then they'll rebloom. But
well, maybe that's what my problem is. I've got that in the summer, but I've never cut off the blooms right after blooming.
Yeah, and I don't have an endless summer, so we used to sell them at the nursery, but I'm understanding that they did repeat bloom, but I could be wrong on that. So
don't they bloom most of the time?
Well, they
most of the summer
color.
Anyway.
They lose their color. You still got the like our friend Ann used to get out there and spray
skip
can.
Them off. Those were usually
spray paint.
Like the lime
the bush. Yeah,
some of those PG hydrangeas. Ann would spray it. She'd leave the bloom the dried blooms on there and spray them different colors or silver and gold. I mean, it's very Christmassy, you know.
But talking of hydrangeas, they are beautiful right now. They're ours are blooming. The one we do have, we just have just a regular mop head at the house, and it's gorgeous right now. It's
some of the lace caps are so the lace cap. I think you bought one too at Guilford Garden Center.
Correct,
I did.
Yes,
that is extraordinary color.
Wonderful.
Kind of pink and purple and all of that.
There's so many different forms and shapes of hydrangeas. I think next to camellia is my favorite plant.
But still, the limelight is still, I think, one of the most popular right now.
Oh, and everybody's, plant
you
those in the sun.
Yeah.
And they just thrive. I've seen people, build houses, and they have a whole display of limelights just packed together. During the summer, they really look fantastic. So, we are at the Greek Festival at the State Fairgrounds in the Graham Building. Come on out. There's lots of things going on out here today, but you will find a park and a good place to eat. Things open up. Don't open up until 11 o'clock, but it'll be a great lunch or dinner for you today. They're open today and tomorrow. Come join us here at the Graham Building for the Greek Festival at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. We're back. Hey, Manny, come over here. Come over here. Put this headset on. I'll talk to you a minute. We're not going to let you get away.
Okay.
We got to get you to talk about all of this stuff. We are the Greek Festival, folks, with the Weekend Gardener, Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, Manny Kalavides.
Yes.
Is with us, Manny. Your wife?
Yes, that's my wife, Martha.
Hey, Martha.
Good morning.
And you said y'all are new to Raleigh or to Holy Trinity.
New to Raleigh and new to Holy Trinity.
Yeah, so you didn't. Rufus was talking about the Mecca restaurant, the Dabalas family.
Right.
were they're still Paul and Mary still around
from the 30s, in fact.
Yeah, the late Mr. Dumbales started the restaurant in downtown Raleigh in the 1930s, and his son John continued that, and then Paul. And it was later sold just a few years ago, but they were a big part of Holy Trinity, and there's so many wonderful Greek people in this community.
There are.
We
very welcoming.
And Father Paul Kaplanis, who is now dean at in Atlanta.
Correct.
I'm not sure how the structure of the church works, but I know that he is a pretty big in the church now.
Yeah.
But he is one of the nicest people I have ever known. When my daughter was at UNC and studying at the Sorbonne in Paris, her junior year at Carolina, and she on their spring break went with a group of students from school and down to Mykonos Island, and she made the mistake of getting on a scooter and didn't know how to drive it, and she ended up using her leg as a way to stop it, and she compound fractures to her leg. So she had to be transported to Athens to the hospital there, and my wife flew over. But Father Paul's wife, who was teaching at Carolina, Greek at Carolina, 1 o'clock in the morning, talking to for 3 days in a row, talking to the doctor at that hospital
to
get an update.
In Mykonos or Athens now?
In Athens.
Okay.
At the university hospital.
Right.
And so that was quite traumatic. But Father Paul and his wife, even though we're not members of the church, were so giving and of their time and everything.
Well, there's another nice person that you need to meet sometime, and you may meet.
I haven't met anybody who wasn't nice there.
Father Paul Christie is now the priest.
Oh, another Father Paul.
Yep, another Father Paul.
I'd love.
And he's just as nice. I never knew Father Kaplanis, but I do know Father Paul, and he's
I can't wait to meet him.
And a gracious individual.
And we're so glad that y'all are that we're here, that y'all invited us here, and. Y'all are expecting a lot of people. How long did it take to, and how many tables here?
A week. And there's 60 tables out there.
60 tables.
Well, 60 tables of three, 60 setups of three.
Wow.
So there's a lot of seats out there.
All right, you have brought some treats here, and describe what we have here.
Well, one of them is a baklava.
Yeah.
Filo. And then nuts, walnuts, and phyllo on the bottom.
Yeah.
And syrup, basically, in there as well. Now, that, Greeks make it with walnuts a lot. Middle Eastern people make it with pistachios.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much put any nut fill you want in there, but typically it's walnuts, okay, with the Greeks. This is a courambier. And that's the powdered one that's typically seen at weddings. Obviously, it's white. Okay.
Sure you can tell who has tried that at a wedding.
Exactly.
Have it all over them.
Exactly. The old George Carlin skin.
Well, that was made for me, wasn't it?
I think it was, Rufus.
So anyway, these are Mela Macarona, which are cakey, a little bit cakey, but they're loaded with honey. And again, you see the nuts on top.
Yeah.
I guess. Not many Greeks were allergic to nuts.
Okay? Yeah, apparently not.
Okay. This is what's called pasta flora, which has the jam on the inside, and it's dough, okay? And then these are kulurakia, which are pretty famous everywhere because they're the Greek cookie, okay? Okay, and they have sesame seeds on them. Typically, they're also made without sesame seeds. They're also made... If you make the Turkish variety, sometimes they're with black sesame seeds.
Manny,
not black, probably poppy seeds.
Sure. We're going to stick around a couple of minutes because we're going to do news, and then come back and we'll talk more about what's going to be going on here today.
Okay.
Can't wait for that. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF
Mike Rayleigh here. We're at the Grand Building for the Greek Festival. Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church does a stellar job of this every year.
Thanks for coming, guys.
We're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. We're at the Greek Festival. Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church puts this on every year. Is this the first time y'all have been at the Graham Building? I know you...
No, sir.
Okay.
We started long ago at the Exhibition Center.
And the Carr Scott Building, I know you were there years ago.
And we moved here when it got too big for the other
two
places.
Yeah, I can understand why it gets too big. But you walk in early... We just came in and y'all are cooking you've cooked, I guess, or you're cooking some of it at the church. So that's the way it
yes.
used to be.
Yes.
But this is such a big deal for y'all, a big fundraiser.
It is at that. The church does well with its stewardship program, but this is clearly a big fundraiser, and more importantly, we're building a new church.
No,
right,
really?
Behind the old church.
Oh, okay.
And this is clearly going to help that building fund with respect to the building of the new church. Yeah, we purchased from, I believe, the Vallos family. Behind the church there was land, and then there was land behind that land that was also a parishioner's family.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll screw up the Greek name even though I'm Greek. Mm. Okay. So we have a fair amount of land, and therefore we are going to be building a new church behind the old church.
Yeah.
I remember Ms. Vallis so well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know any of these people.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Wonderful lady. She had a grandson that worked on Capitol Hill for a while.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And I sort of mentored him.
Rufus was Senator Sam Ervin's
Oh, wow.
Rufus was chief deputy counsel on the Watergate committee. So he one of his jobs was to serve a subpoena on President Nixon to get the Watergate tapes. So you're looking
that,
at a historic
right?
figure.
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
That is something.
52 years ago.
Why?
August 52 years ago. Quite a day.
I grew up in Washington, D.C. So that's where I was born and raised. You looked a lot younger there.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly was. I was 31.
That's a subpoena. That's a subpoena.
Did you save the subpoena?
Now, what is this behind you, Rufus? Is that where did you get out of the car? Which side of the was well, that on the
Pennsylvania Avenue?
Okay, so that's where Blair House and all that stuff is over on the.
I was in the back of a Capitol Police car, and my mother said later. Well, that's the only time you were back there legally. I said, Mama, why'd you say a thing like that?
I'm sure that's appropriate. Well, at least it's early in the morning. People are just waking up.
Yeah.
If not, they just woke up. All right. So, Manny, what's on the menu that you can think? I'm sure you know it by heart.
There's Greek. There's Athenian chicken. There's lamb, which is typical of the Greeks to have lamb.
Yeah.
There's spanakopita, tiropita, that's spinach pie, cheese pie.
Right.
And basically it's that phyllo, the same kind of phyllo, with a mixture of spinach and cheese inside, okay? And the tiropita is basically the phyllo rolled or built into a form, and the spanakopita comes in pieces, like cake, okay?
Yeah, is this moussaka?
Moussaka.
That's kind of like lasagna, isn't it?
Nope, the pastizo.
Oh, pastizio.
More like lasagna.
Oh, okay.
The moussaka. Moussaka is eggplant-based.
Oh, yum.
Oh.
Pastizo is macaroni-based. You know.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I just...
So, yeah. They both...
When you're gobbling the food, you don't pay attention to the name, and that's what I've done
Correct.
With this.
Correct. And the moussaka and the pastizo are very popular,
with
a lot of people. And they can be a meal, okay? They can be a meal. And the sizes we sell are big enough for a meal.
These mics aren't picking up my stomach.
Spanakopita is the spinach pie, And then they have gyro, which is the gyro. Okay, everybody calls it the gyro.
Yeah, yeah.
Pita bread with the shaved meat
right
in it. And then the lamb burgers are really phenomenal, okay? The reason why I say that is my granddaughter is a very picky eater, but she can put those down real easy. She's seven, okay? Greek fries are with any. If you can make anything Greek, if you put oregano on it and mix it with feta cheese, okay?
Yeah.
So, and then the chicken rigonato is that, and the roasted lamb shank. So there's a full menu, and then the sweets are where a lot of people go, and we have a lucumada booth as well. Lucumadas are the little round balls that are deep fried, and then you put honey on them, and they taste phenomenal. They're not...
So they're like a dough or something?
They're like a dough, but they're a very light dough.
Okay.
They're not like a donut hole, for example.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a donut hole, but it's not quite as dense as a donut hole. It's an airy type kind of dough.
Yeah. So there been any estimation of calories coming in or and going out, how much you've consumed? Or do you have a scale at the doorway?
Whatever limit you have for the day, you're going to go over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're going to enjoy it while you do it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
It doesn't taste like diet food at all. There's nothing on this menu that's like that. Okay.
Yeah. I love a menu that has more pastries and desserts on it than it does anything else.
Yeah. Yes. And they start at the top.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So do you start with the pastries and then work your way down, or what?
You can cycle. You know, you can start there, go around.
I think I would lose my, with all these chairs, I think I'd lose my place.
Come back, and just before you go out, you grab another box.
Oh, wow.
It works good.
Manny, thanks so much. We appreciate you and the church, and thanks for having us out.
Thank
here.
You for being here, and we appreciate your work.
And we're going to talk to you some more this morning. We'll be here until 11. Thank you, Manny.
Sure.
All right. Greek Orthodox Church in Raleigh, Holy Trinity, and the Greek Festival here at the Graham Building of the State Fairgrounds. 11 o'clock is when they open up today. They'll be open today and tomorrow for lunch. We're back. Oh, what a great story. Manny was telling us a story about Harry Truman. What a wonderful story. So you weren't in Washington early. Did you meet President Truman?
Never did.
Former President Truman?
No, I didn't.
As I mentioned, I saw him not too far away in my hometown. He was invited there by the late Congressman Harold Cooley to speak at our Harvest Festival in 1960. I believe it was. And that was, you know, even then I felt, well, wow, this
that
is
was, that shows you what
former
power
President of the United States
Congressman Cooley had.
Oh yeah, well,
to occasion the visit of a president.
Yeah, he knew them all. He was very powerful. I guess at the time he left Congress in 1966, he was the seventh highest ranking member of the House, so he certainly and chairman of the Agriculture Committee. So he wielded a lot of power, but that was, you know, maybe 20-30 feet. I didn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of security. We had a couple of policemen there. I don't know that they had any Secret Service back protection much. For former presidents, something I hadn't really thought about, but maybe they did, and they were out there. But surely there was somebody besides our two policemen in Nashville. we are at the Greek Festival with WPTF Weekend Gardener, and Mike Ellington is with us from the Extension Service in Vance and Warren County, and Johnny Coley here from Granville and Person County. So we're certainly glad to have them this morning. Rufus is going to be with us during the first hour, and then he's going to head out to Harnett County for a funeral this morning. So
You're busy. You're a busy person. You're showing the world how to be retired.
That's the way to quickly get disabled, retire.
Yeah. I think that's probably true.
Well, after the funeral, there's an event tonight put on by the bank, North State Bank, that funds hospice care. And I'm going to that. It's a big event at the Northridge Country Club. And they raise a lot of money for hospice care, which should be of importance to all of us. Because one way or another,
right,
we're going to get there.
Right. All right. So you've got a full day.
Full day.
I appreciate you making time for us always.
Well, I did it by phone last week. As you know, I was on the way to Boone.
How did that go with your brother?
Well, I had a wonderful time with my 92-year-old brother, who was just as spry as he could be.
Your last sibling.
He and I are
your oldest, too.
Yeah, we're the last ones standing.
Right.
Out of five boys and one girl.
Yeah.
My daddy never had to hire much help on the farm.
I'm sure he did not. Mama neither.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm glad that went well. You know, we're through with the pollen season for the most part, at least the visible pollen, that pollen that gets in the filters in your car and all of that. Well, King's Auto Service, they can handle that, change the filters, your oil filter, your air filters. But they can do just about everything else for your car. Well, let's say everything for your car. They could probably rebuild it. They can certainly rebuild an engine if they wanted to. So go to King's Auto Service. They've been in business for decades in Raleigh. They are as professional as they come. Well-educated, highly educated mechanics. They are service technicians. Maybe a late spring, early summer checkup. You know, it's Johnny was talking about it's going to be in the 90s, well into the 90s sometime here in the next week or so. So get that air conditioning checked. Get things like the wiper blades checked. They need changing a lot more often than you might think. Get the brakes. They'll check all of that, a little safety check for you while your car is in. But get it in. Make sure you follow your manufacturer's service regimen. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, then they have certified hybrid technicians at King's that are ready to diagnose and give you all the available options for a high-voltage battery pack replacement for less than the dealer will charge for replacement. And that can happen around an average of 150,000 miles for those big batteries, but they can go much longer than that. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 West Street in downtown Raleigh. It's kind of the northern end of West Street. And kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. At the Grand Building here for the Greek Festival this morning, 919-860-9783. You know, you love gardening, and it can be rather frustrating to see all the hard work destroyed overnight by deer and rabbits. But don't worry, iMost Garden is here to help. iMost Garden deer and rabbit repellents are a natural, eco-friendly way to protect your plants without harming animals or the environment. Made right here in North Carolina, iMust Garden uses botanical oils and other carefully selected natural ingredients to create a formula that both is powerful and plant-friendly. It's safe for people, safe for pets, and safe for the earth. Plus, it actually smells pleasant with mint or spice-scented options, so you don't have to worry about spraying it around your yard for any reason. These repellents don't just smell good, they work. They're rain-resistant, long-lasting, and so you can enjoy your outdoor space no matter what you're planting. iMust Garden keeps deer, rabbits, even groundhogs away without any harmful chemicals. Choose the
ready groundhogs?
Groundhogs. You got groundhogs?
Yes.
You got groundhog problems? When did this happen?
That's the one that can open the composter door.
I thought that was a raccoon.
Well, I've discovered it was a groundhog.
Oh. ambidextrous.
Yes.
And here's the best part. You don't have to go far. You'll find Imos Garden repellents at independent garden centers and hardware stores throughout the Triangle, including Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh. We all love Campbell Road. Southern States in Carrboro, where we've done remotes in Chapel Hill, Carrboro area. It's actually in Carrboro. That's a great place. Plus, where Bill Friday used to shop. Plus, many trusted local retailers. Imos Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. So, Mike, what kind of calls are you getting from your constituents there in the office? So what are folks worried about right now? I don't know. Insects or?
You know, we've been getting a lot of feedback on the Colorado potato beetle.
Oh, really?
And what people are seeing now, the larval stage, just a little tan, grub-looking insect with two rows of black dots on the side. Yeah. You'll find it often on nettle, so that means you're going to see it on potatoes, tomatoes, anything in that solanum, genus. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of ways to control it. There's limited success with spinosad. There's really cultural methods are going to be the best way to deal with that. Picking your planting dates. Johnny, feel free to jump in.
Johnny, well, you seen any lately?
I have not seen the Colorado potato beetle. I haven't had any calls on those. But, yeah, it's always an issue. Of course, you know, the squash borer and the squash bugs are going to be soon a nemesis.
I envision tinfoil when I hear about those critters.
The boar, and I think Nelsa Cox, I think she uses aluminum foil around
right.
the
and,
base
and
of
Miss Ann
plants.
Did, too.
Did the
she
same.
Talked
okay.
about
yeah.
that.
Around for the boar, that does help. You know, if you don't have too many, that is, you know, that will work. Of course, you have a field of them that is a little bit more difficult. But actually was at a community garden a couple of weeks ago and saw the moth of the boar visiting the squash plant, so know that you know she was laying eggs and then that boar will hatch out and get into the squash stem, and that is one of the few insects that I tell people you can go out there the day before and you don't see anything and the next day your squash is dead you know, because yeah. it just flops that quickly and it's hard to detect those. But Michael, you mentioned timing, and timing for those is critical. If you can plant your squash earlier in the season, get them up some size and maybe even harvest them before that squash borer usually is an issue. It's normally late May, early June when it rears its head, and a lot of times you can be almost, you know, harvesting squash by then. In fact, I tell the story that when we had a customer come in one time, and she was buying squash plants, and she had pulled out some squash that she had froze from the year before, and she had that date on it. So she was harvesting them the year before, and she was just getting them planted that year. Weather doesn't allow us to, you know, to plant when we like to sometime, but that is critical for a lot of insects and diseases. If we can plant early and miss that. You know, miss that threshold for when the insect's going to emerge. And I can't keep all the insect life cycles in my head.
Well, you mentioned the word beetle. Nelson walked by a beautiful little Japanese maple that J.C. Ralston had given me, about 5 feet wide and 5 feet tall, and looks totally dead except a couple of leaves. And she said it was some kind of beetle that just devastated it. And Phil said, let it stay a while, and they're coming back a little bit. But I have no idea when that happened, what happened. It was at least 30 years old. Some kind of, Nelson said it was some kind of beetle.
That ate the leaves off?
Yes. And I scraped the stem of a lot of it, and it's dead.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not familiar with a beetle that... But you know, I'm sure
maybe Nelson's listening. We'll call in
and say what that is. That when you got the flea beetles, but I wouldn't think they're not going to eat that much.
We typically see more of the direct tissue damage with something like a beetle.
Yeah.
Than the
leaf.
What'd damage. You say, Mike?
Typically, we see more of the direct tissue damage with a beetle, as opposed to the leaf damage.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was totally healthy every year, and just all of a sudden, I know it wasn't lack of water. I know a lot of plants have suffered because of variations in climate, but nothing except just eating up with something. And that was so dreadful because J.C. Ralston gave me that thing when it was about a foot tall.
Wow.
It was a gorgeous little thing, weeping over.
They're beautiful plants.
I've mourned it.
And they're gorgeous right now. We have several Japanese maples in the yard, and they're just, I mean, they're at their peak right now as far as color-wise. They're always gorgeous before that summer heat gets to them, especially the dissectums.
I have one that's got a little pink line around the leaf. Are you guys familiar with that one? A little.
Is it a palmatum or a dissectum?
It's a tiny, tiny leaf about the size of the end of your thumb.
Okay.
It's a miniature Japanese maple, but got a little thin pink line around the edge of the leaf.
Yeah.
I love it. I got it at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum sale years ago. Yeah. There are just so many wonderful Japanese maples.
Lots of cultivars of the Japanese maple, for sure.
Beautiful. Mike, I want to stump these two guys.
That's great. What a welcoming thing.
Doesn't take a lot to stump
me. Yeah,
me neither.
Tree at home. And when we do the walk around, it fools everybody. It was given to me and also authenticated by our friend
Mark Wethington.
Yeah. A Vietnam evergreen maple. It does not lose its leaves, and the stalk looks like sort of like bamboo. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, at your house is where I saw it.
Mark was there last year, saw it there.
But that's yeah.
Had
that's
you ever
my only
seen
exposure.
Or heard of one?
No, that was my first exposure.
Do you believe that's what it is?
I believe Mark Wethington. Yeah.
The Vietnam is not just a name. It's a tropical plant that stays evergreen here.
Do what?
It's a tropical plant that stays evergreen here.
Oh, all year long.
Yeah.
All year long.
That's amazing. So you're going to have to leave, huh, sir?
Yes, but I'll be on and off on the way down there.
All right, good.
So bless all of you, and thanks. Thanks to our listeners.
All right, we'll be back from the Greek Festival at the State Fairgrounds Graham Building.